Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into their sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Our podcast will cover the Revised Common Lectionary. Oh no, you may be thinking, not another lectionary podcast. Oh, but yes, because this is not just another lectionary podcast. Let's go explore why.
In 1983, Dr. Howard Gardner, professor of education at Harvard University, proposed a theory of multiple intelligences. He suggested that humans possess many types of intelligence, not just the one that's generally measured by standardized tests. His theory is based on cognitive research, and quoting him, "documents the extent that students possess different kinds of minds, and therefore learn, remember, perform, and understand in different ways." Now, briefly, we might call these different intelligences word smart, vision smart, math smart, music smart, body smart, group smart, and self smart, and one that was added later, nature smart. While we've learned a good bit about this stuff, we aren't really experts. So for more information about all these things, go to our webpage, morethanhearing.org, and look for the links about Dr. Gardner's work.
Jumping off from Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences, as pastors and preachers, we have noticed that our Sunday mornings are missing some wildly underused resources. Using the various smarts, we have available to us intriguing options to make the worship experience more engaging and memorable for our congregations. In our time together here, we will explore these different pathways to connect people with the Word of God. We may not get to all of the intelligences in every podcast, but we will do our best to include as many as possible. We have chosen to follow the Revised Common Lectionary for its structure and because we know many preachers also use it.
So why use these smarts? Well, for roughly 2,000 years, the church has used primarily two means of communicating the gospel, verbal and visual, mostly sermons and books and stained glass windows. Some traditions have thrown in smells and bells, but by and large, the bulk of the communication has relied really heavily on the spoken word.
So Dr. Gardner's theory has led us to believe that proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ can take a lot of different forms. So how might one relate the familiar story of the woman at the well, for example, using elements of nature, music, kinesthetics, interpersonal relationships, and even math? What we're going to do is highlight some of these intelligences in this podcast and give you a chance to enter into that creative process with us.
So what we hope to do is each week look at the lectionary passages and provide you with illustrations and special effects that will let you include the different intelligences in your preaching.
Explain illustrations and special effects.
Okay, the illustrations would be ways that you can include the different intelligences through your words. So you would use words to bring a visual picture or to conjure up a feeling in their bodies, in the listeners' bodies.
And special effects would be actually bringing in something, something tangible, something that people can touch, something that maybe they would even bring in that engages their intelligences as you are going through the sermon or through the entire worship service.
Right, so props and experiences for the special effects.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get started. So we'll begin with our Old Testament passage for the first Sunday in Advent, year C, Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16. We're going to give you a brief summary of the passage and some of the highlights. So the way we summarize the passage is that Jeremiah presents a really hopeful message for people living in exile at this point. God has not forgotten them, and they will be restored in their land. Highlights from the particular passage. The days are surely coming when a righteous branch will spring up for David. Judah and Jerusalem will live in safety.
Okay, now you're going to have to do your own exegesis on this. That's not what we're doing. We're going to give you some, illustrations and special effects. So one of the intelligences is eye smart or visual spatial. And one of the things that we've found is that the idea of the branch springing up really is evocative for the eye. So everybody is familiar with, or most people are familiar with, time-lapse photography, and we've all seen those pictures of new plant growth pushing up through the ground and stretching up, and the leaves and flowers appear from out of nowhere. Bring that with your words. Describe that for the folks.
And then if you want to use it as a special effect, you can actually find a clip of that. I'm sure they're online all over the place. And if your church has the proper kind of technology, you can use that as you're talking about it. Or you can use it during the music as the service starts, or just, you know, have it there. Another way, another theme that we landed on for this particular passage is the idea of safety. It's particularly poignant now, what with everything happening in Paris today. But what does it feel like to feel safe? What does your body feel like when you feel safe? Some of the ideas that we came up with is a warm blanket on a really chilly night, calm, deep, even breathing, relaxing in a warm bathtub or on a beach. Or think back to when you were a child and you were sitting on the lap of your parents or your grandparent and they were telling you a story or reading you a book.
So for, this is the body smart, by the way. And
oh, right.
So,
sorry, didn't say that.
For a special effect, often the special effects you need to plan ahead a little bit. So if you can, invite the members of your congregation to bring in a blanket to worship, or a robe, a warm
robe,
or a
fuzzy sweater, or slippers,
or a teddy bear, or something that makes them feel
safe,
warm and safe. Mm-hmm. Or alternatively, you could have something, if you have a small enough congregation and the resources, have scarves that they can wrap around themselves to simulate that feeling.
And they go back to the idea of the branch. In using the nature smart, the righteous branch will spring up. Talk about seeds. Talk about how seeds grow. They can remain dormant for a really, really long time. But when the right conditions appear, you have enough water, enough light, enough soil, the seed germinates and then it starts growing into a new plant. And there are particular seeds, jack pines and lodgepole pines, for example, that have something called a serotonous cone. It's covered in a resin that is impervious to everything, and it has to be melted in a fire before the cone will open up and let go its seed so it can begin germinating.
And that works. That imagery works really well with the Jeremiah passage as he's preaching to the folks who have gone through
the great deal of fire
of the Babylonian attacks and the exile. Mm-hmm. So a special effect to go along with this nature smart would be, again, planning ahead, plant some seeds a few weeks before, like now, and
let them germinate.
And let them germinate and bring them in and have them there so people can see that idea. Or
This is fun. I like this idea.
Get a chia pet. And, they're out in stores and grow a chia pet.
They are out in stores.
So that's these terracotta
shapes
and animals and things that, and you smear it with this goop and seeds, and then you water it
and it grows.
Sit back and watch and it grows. Mm-hmm. So you can do a chia pet right there in the sermon and
then leave it in the sanctuary.
Leave it in the worship
through
space.
Through the entirety of Advent.
So that people can see it growing up and they'll remember the sprouting thing.
Yes, the righteous branch springing up. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to the next one.
All right. The psalm lesson for the first week in Advent in year C is Psalm 25, 1 to 10. Our summary is that it's a psalm of David expressing trust, reliance, and hope in God's mercy. In the psalm, he says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. and do not let me be put to shame, and make me to know your ways and teach me your paths. And that part gets repeated in several different ways. So for this text, we're starting with Math Smart, and starting with a special effect for this one that you could use a crossword puzzle to demonstrate the sort of one-to-one fit that the psalmist is looking for between the teaching of God and his own soul. When you do a crossword puzzle, there's only one solution for each square, and that's what he wants, is he wants the right answer in each part of his life. So with that, you can, there are generators online where you can plug in words and, you know, pull 12 words from the psalm and put them in, and it will generate a crossword puzzle that you could put into the into your weekly bulletin or up on the screen.
Another smart that we haven't talked about yet is Music Smart, we're kind of taking some liberties with that one with this particular passage. Psalms are ancient hymns of praise. And we actually thought that a good use of the Music Smart for this particular passage would be to use the poem The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. You could just recite the poem at some point, maybe in your sermon, or have it used in some other way in the context of your worship service. I don't know, maybe somebody has even been clever and creative enough to have put it to music somewhere. It might be interesting to look and see.
Yeah, so that connects with several references to
being led
on the path for the Lord. Okay, natural smart again. So this is connecting with the elements of nature. And again, the idea that's implied in the psalm of this, the psalmist's receptivity to God's ways. And so an illustration might be the receptor cells in our bodies that receive and identify specific protein or marker molecules, and then they respond by performing a predetermined task in the cell. They don't work without the right protein, and they won't accept the wrong protein. And again, that's the way the psalmist wants to be with the ways of God. And so for a special effect with that, again, we used crossword puzzle before, which you might not think of it actually as math, but it is that logical connection
and
the
answers.
The one-to-one, yeah. But here, using a jigsaw puzzle, perhaps, to demonstrate that same sort of interconnectedness and receptivity, and that you have to get the right thing to plug into the right place. So maybe a child's jigsaw puzzle with the really big
pieces.
And to demonstrate the way the psalmist wants to fit together with God's instruction.
And lastly, the self-smart or the intrapersonal intelligence. As an illustration for your sermon, you might want to talk about experiences when you have felt led by someone. What does that feel like? And of course, it obviously depends a lot upon the person who's doing the leading, the relationship you have with that person. It could be maybe it's a friend who is giving you directions to a new restaurant to try. It could maybe be the waiter leading you to the table when you get to that restaurant. Maybe it's a lover leading you to the bedroom. Maybe it's a nurse leading you to the examination room. Ultimately, what it is, it's the Lord leading to salvation and to service. So those are some four smarts in the psalm and some illustrations and special effects. So let's go on to the next one. Okie day. The epistle lesson for the first Sunday in Advent, year C, is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. We've summarized the passage as being Paul is really, really excited to hear how well the Thessalonians are doing in his absence, and he is very eager to rejoin them, and he is very eagerly expecting the return to them, to see them again. Some of the verses that we highlight, the words that we highlighted, we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face. May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus.
The first of the smarts that we want to use for this one is the math smart. And again, this is numbers and charts and logic and so on. And connecting that with the phrase, just as we abound in love for you. Paul is, throughout this passage, starting from chapter 2, talking about the abundance of God's grace and love and how it's changed him and the community in Thessalonica. So one way to think about this in an illustration is to talk about the economy. And usually in an American economy, we think supply and demand, and often we think there's not enough to go around. And in God's economy, though, there is always abundance and to spare. So, which I guess is what abundance means.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Webster.
Okay. And so it's a very different way of thinking about it. And there's no scarcity of God's grace and love. And that's the thing that you might draw out from here. So by way of special effect, you can actually draw the supply and demand curve, which most of us learned in high school or college, and you can find it easily online. But, you know, get a newsprint up there and just draw that chart and then show God's part of it by drawing a straight line across the top and say, this is God's supply line up here. It's always far above what we need. And particularly with the grace and love part.
A smart we haven't talked about yet is group smart, people who have interpersonal intelligences. And the passage, or the images in the text that caught our attention for this particular smart is the joy that Paul and Timothy are feeling before God because of the Thessalonians, seeing you face to face and increasing and abounding in love for one another. So what you might do for an illustration for your sermon with those particular images is to remember a time when you saw someone that you hadn't seen for a really long time. Maybe a friend travels many miles to surprise you for a birthday party. Or the birth of a child. You've known for 9 months this little one's on its way. In the last month or so, you can actually see it rolling around and hands coming. You know, mom feels lots of kicks and things, and then there it is. You see the baby's eyes. You see it face to face. Or think about being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Maybe you were in marching band in high school, or you were on a sports team, or you were in some sort of a club that at one point in time you just had this sense that, wow, this is cool, this is bigger than I am, and I feel so connected to all of these people. It's really awesome.
Maybe even the church.
Maybe even the church. Let's hope so. Okay, anyway, so for a special effect, shut up. So for a special effect, what you might do to illustrate that, bring in a card or an invitation or a photo that you really, really prize for those particular feelings that it has elicited in you, and explain why that's the case. And if you have time, maybe you can invite other people to bring in memorabilia and that they can have in their hands during the service, and maybe find a time during the service that people can turn to their neighbors and share with each other why that thing is so important. Or you could have somebody do testimony. This is a leap of faith. Having someone come forward, you might want to, you know, let them know ahead of time you're expecting this, but have them come forward and talk about how God has made them joyful, how they've experienced God's joy, how they've experienced God's redemption in their lives, and how that has made a difference.
Okay, the next smart we're looking at is self-smart, which is kind of the opposite of the group smart. It's self-reflection and turning inward to examine yourself. And looking at the phrase from the text, strengthen your hearts in holiness to be blameless. And the way that happens theologically is going to be through our long-term connection with God through the Holy Spirit. And over time, God changes our heart and changes us, changes our spirits. So by way of illustration, thinking about long-term relationships and how they shape and mold our lives. And for a special effect, maybe start off with two lumps of modeling clay, fresh out of the box. And you know how that stuff is. It's
cold,
hard, it's
cold
and clammy, and and it's hard to do anything with. So just set one lump of it down and let nothing happen to that. And the other one, just work while you are while you're talking, while you're preaching, while the service is going on, and go ahead and start to shape it into something as you go along. That it may take a little practice to do that while you're talking about other things, but shape it into a heart, shape it into a bowl, something, and then draw that. Draw their attention to that, that this is what God wants to do with our souls, with our hearts, with our lives, is to shape them, and that we have to put ourselves in the hand of God to be able to do that. Otherwise, we're like the other lump that just sits there and it's cold and hard. And let people reflect on that and how God is at work in that way, shaping their own lives. The gospel lesson for the first week in Advent in year C is Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. Here Jesus teaches his disciples that waiting is an act of faithfulness, and does that with some really powerful apocalyptic imagery. This is where he says there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and they will see the coming of the Son of Man in clouds with power and great glory. And when all these things take place, straighten up and raise your heads. And then he uses a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees, and as you see their leaves coming out, then you know summer is coming. And so when you see these things taking place, you know the kingdom of God is near.
All right, so we're going to look at the math smart one more time. Who knew there was so much math available for sermons? And we're going to look specifically at the parable. And if you look at the parable as an equation or a ratio, you'll remember those from math class? This is to this as that is to that. You could use the fig tree. So take some time to explore this as a ratio. If it is a logical equation, then the tumult, the things, the bloody moon and things like that, should have a similar impact on us as seeing leaves in the springtime. That is usually a hopeful expectation, not a fearful one. So the approaching summer means there are going to be figs, sweet, sweet fruit. So how sweet will it be when the kingdom comes? So what you can do as an illustration for this is get a special effect. I'm sorry, that was the illustration. Now the special effect is get a whiteboard or a newsprint and write it out as a ratio. Start with the ratio A over B equals C over D. And then when everybody faints from having math, you'll let them wake up. And then replace that with fig tree over summer equals tumult over kingdom. And then talk about how those two things are similar. The fig tree is putting out leaves. There's going to be a delightful anticipation. The tumult is something that is not necessarily something we should fear then.
For body smart for this one, there's so much going on in this passage. Jesus says people will faint from fear from seeing math ratios. No, from seeing the signs in the heavens and such. So think, by way of illustration, think about a time, have you ever been that afraid, fainting afraid? I mean, screaming afraid, maybe, but that's still not fainting afraid. I've only been fainting afraid once in my life. Then he also talks about when these things are happening, stand up and lift your heads and in your body, think about how that feels. And what came to my mind was waiting for a train, and you're lying around, sitting around, waiting for the train because it's always late. And then you hear the whistle coming and everyone stands up and looks down the track. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about, that kind of movement, anticipating the coming that you're waiting for. And then another is don't be weighed down. We didn't highlight this above, but he goes on and says, don't be weighed down by sins and worries in this life, but be ready to move. So for an illustration, think about carrying heavy bags of stuff, you know, a couple bags of softener salt or cement mix or even groceries, or going hiking, except you've got rocks in your backpack, you know, that sort of thing. For special effects, the same sort of thing. You can just move those right along. So bring a backpack and, you know, the kind that you would take for hiking, and pack it right there, and would put in some hiking stuff, you know, some clothes and cooking gear and a first aid kit, and get somebody up there to try it on, and then load it up with some rocks, you know, and just dump them in there. And because they have no purpose. And that's what Jesus is talking about with the sin and worry in our lives, that they have no purpose and we have no place for them.
Particularly when we're waiting for the coming kingdom. Musical, we're going to go highlight it really quick. Go take a look at the lyrics for When the Saints Go Marching In. We have a link to that on our webpage. Note the parallels to the passage.
Again, for the standing up and lifting your heads, a natural smart, a nature smart, nature scene from nature documentaries of prairie dogs and meerkats, those fun little furry critters that stand up and look out over the horizon to see what's coming to protect their colonies. And, you know, are we as intelligent and careful as they are? Are we watching as carefully as they are?
Are there coyotes coming? That might be a good question. And finally, one more time, with the self or intrapersonal smart, we looked at the image in the text, be on guard so your hearts are not weighed down. An illustration for your sermon, you could invite congregations to reflect on what sins and worries are weighing them down in their lives, making it difficult for them to stand before the Lord. And a special effect you could do for that one, give everybody a stone, maybe 3 or 4 inches across, and a marker, a Sharpie or something, and have them write on that stone a sin or a worry that most weighs them down. And then carry that stone in their hand for the next week all the time. Notice how it gets in the way. And then encourage them that as they're noticing how this sin, this worry continues to get in the way, to pray about it during the week and to ask God to make them ready to lay it down. The sin and the worry, not the stone. Yeah. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or on our More Than Hearing Facebook page, or tweet us at More Than Hearing. If any of these suggestions have sparked an idea for you, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the RSS feed on our webpage, because we'll be back with another installment next week. So keep listening and commenting, and in the meantime, stay subscribed.
And be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.